All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Tamu Kenyama. She is the author of 1148 Lewis Street, A Long Journey, and she's in Milwaukee, you know, to talk about the book. And let's go to the phone lines quickly. Let's go to Gary. Can we go to the phones?
Yeah.
Okay, Gary, go ahead. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I turned my radio on, and I can never get you guys. It's always static. Do you know when it's going to be fixed?
Well,
where are you at right
now?
Yeah. Well, there's some work being done, so just bear with us. We know it's out, but there's some work being done on it as we speak.
Okay, so I can hear you. The only way I can hear you, I didn't even know what you're talking about. So
okay.
I apologize for that.
That's all right.
I really do.
Well, thanks for letting us know, man. They're working on it. We're aware of it. Thank you. All right.
Okay, bye.
All right. So let's expedite
for double radio.
All right, so let's expedite it. So you guys were arrested. Some were charged. How much jail time was done?
The brothers got life, and they got from the state. They got life, and then 15 years from federal.
Life plus 15 years?
Yes.
So is it safe to say some are still incarcerated?
No, that was a fluke how they were able to get out based on an error on the part of the state of Mississippi. They had served 8 years, I guess. The state of Mississippi, the prison had to depopulate because it was overcrowded, and they were under federal investigation for all of that. So they ended up sending everybody who had time to do in other jurisdictions, they sent them there. Well, when they sent the brothers to the various prisons some of them came here to Atlanta, and the other two were someplace else. But anyway, they sent them to federal prison. And the very next day, somebody had pulled their coat and let them know that that was a mistake, because they would lose jurisdiction if they sent them away. So they got them back the very next day. However, our attorneys worked really hard for the next couple years trying to show that they had lost jurisdiction when they crossed the state line and turned them over to federal. Well, we eventually won after like I said, after a couple of years, we did win that case.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so all of the time that they had from the day that they were sent back to federal prison, they had to send them back to federal prison and for a period of time. So all of the time that they had spent in prison in federal custody from the very first day when they were depopulating, all of that time and the time that they came back and spent in Mississippi and then back to federal, all of that time counted as federal time, and therefore they had done a third of those 15 years, and they were able to be released. And that was just based on a technicality.
So let me ask you, did that impact, surely that impacted and affected what those men and others were able to do with their lives, having that kind of history associated with them? Were they able to move on with their lives? How long did it take?
Well, they went on with their lives. I know the two that were my husband and another brother Faga, who was both. They were more connected because they were the two that were sent here, to Atlanta and back and forth and all that. I do know that the third brother, he continued on with I think all of them continued on in some type of revolutionary activities. All of them did.
Yeah. Well, you know, as life went on, the revolutionary activities that you guys were doing at a young age fell by the wayside, and they became just like anybody else, just trying to raise a family, and that happened, right?
No, not exactly. Okay. While my husband was incarcerated, he developed something called the blueprint for the African Community Centers for Unity and Self-Determination. And it's basically, to make it short, is a scientific effort to bring about unity with our people. What we try and do is bring together organizations, individuals, and organizations, because we're all working and not reinventing the wheel. But so you stay in your organization, everybody's keep doing what they're doing, that's doing something positive. But you know, we come together on one accord in terms of the ideology that we need to be free. It takes a minute to go into details. But anyway, he started working on that, and when he came home back here to Milwaukee, he tried to, you know, put it out there, you know, and start it. It didn't take hold. When we moved to Atlanta, he tried it, and then by 2003, I think it was January 2003, he brought the family together and said, we're going to do this, and we did it. And it was very strong for many years, but these last couple of years, it's taken a nosedive. But, you know, there's still certain remnants of it that's still effective. Right now, the thing that's still moving is that was born out of the African Community Centers is the Elder Council, which is it's kind of like an entity in and of itself. And, you know, it takes a minute to explain all that. But the Elder Council, what we have done is solve certain problems in our community that, because, you know, instead of going to the courts, you know, the parties have to agree to abide by, you know, whatever results the
Mm-hmm. So let's do this because we're running out of time. You're going to be at two locations this weekend. Let's talk about where you're going to be.
I'm going to be on Friday, July 16th. I'll be at July 15th, Friday. I'll be at Wisconsin Black Historical Society, and that's at 2620 West Center Street. And that's from 5:30 till 7:30. And then on Saturday, July 16th, I'll be at Coffee Makes You Black. And that's at 2803 North Titonia Avenue. And that's from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m.
And clearly you'll be signing books and yes, having books for sale.
Yes.
And speaking, I would clearly think that would be a part of it too.
Yes.
Well, so how?
And answering questions, you know, that anybody may have about the incident and everything else.
So how often have you made it back to Milwaukee? I mean, is this, you know, during that period of time? Since that period of time.
A lot, because you know I have family here, so yeah. You know I come back. Pretty often, you know.
Do you know your sojourn sounds so much like the move in Philadelphia,
yeah,
movement and what took place there, and and so you know it's history, it's our history. Young people need to be made aware of it. It's not just, you know, the elders or the seniors, they need to know the fight that people put up to try to force a nation that has been wrong all along to attempt to do things that are right. And so it's an honor to have had you on these airwaves. I'm going to show up at probably a couple of those places, get a chance to meet you and listen to you.
That would be wonderful. That would be great.
I will definitely do that. I will be there. There's no question about it. Thank you very much for telling your story. I personally will see you Friday and probably Saturday, too.
Okay.
We thank Brother Tony Courtney for connecting us.
Absolutely.
And we've got to go to a break. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Really appreciate it. You've been tuned in this first hour to the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.